Hey everyone, I'm Dahlia.
And I'm Alma. This is Nightmare on Fifth Street, a horror movie podcast.
I like how you made yourself sound all profesh there when you were making that ridiculous face a minute ago. So
I was getting it out of my system.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. I appreciate that. okay, so I'm cold. I don't know if you've noticed, but I am wearing two sweaters right now.
You should just put on a jacket.
I know. I thought of, I started off with one sweater, and which was fine. But then I came into the bedroom where, you know, I record, and it's a little chillier in here. And there was a sweater thrown in the back of my chair. And I thought, well, let me just go ahead and throw it on. So now I'm sitting here and I look like I'm fucking in Alaska or something. in Alaska, not fucking in Alaska.
Sorry.
But whatchamacallit. So I realize I look a bit silly here because this second sweater is like really thick. So I look like a lumberjack or something.
I'm warm. I have the cat heater right next to me. So
there's
they have
cat
an extra heater. Well, yeah, I have a few extra heaters so that way they have, you know, extra warmness when it's cold.
I thought you meant it was a heater specifically for cats. I don't know why I thought that. I'm like, there's a cat heater? That's a thing?
That's so I'm sure stupid. Dude, we should market that. If there's not one, we could totally have that.
Oh, my God.
You know,
God.
Like the heating pads that they make specifically for pets. Well, I have, like, heating pads. But they sell them specifically for pets, and mine are just like regular.
Okay,
so
I didn't know that was a thing.
On,
I love that
heaters for cats. And dogs.
There you go. Alma, what are we discussing today? It's not cats, and it's not Dolly looking like a lumberjack or any of that.
No, it isn't. We're talking about our favorite horror movie women movies.
Horror movie women's of horror?
Women's of horror.
Yes, character edition. We're talking about the characters that we love in our horror movies. And
yes.
Now, here's the thing. I was looking at my list. So my list is a little mix of naughty and nice. I don't know why I said it like that. But there's
okay,
a couple in here that are not necessarily... the good guy in the movie. Enjoying looking at my list like, what's wrong
with
me?
Oh, shit. I could have expanded that. Well, why don't you start us off with one of the naughty ones? I want to hear.
Okay. It's actually the first one on my list. Okay. Real quick also, this list that I'm sharing is in no particular order. It just happened to be the way I wrote it down and started looking at my info. But my first one is Baby from Devil's Rejects. And so... I love the movie. You know that. It's quite controversial and I get it. I totally get it. But I fucking love this movie. It's one of my absolute favorite movies. I will rewatch it like a million times. And in case you don't know, this is the quick little synopsis. The murderous backwoods Firefly family take to the road to escape the vengeful Sheriff Wydell, who is not afraid of being as ruthless as his target. And Baby is played by Sherry Moon Zombie. And she only, first of all, I love her, but she also only acts in her husband's movies, which I always found very interesting because she doesn't want to be an actress, but she just, you know, she happens to be in his movies, you know. I don't know, I started off like helping him out or something like that, but I can't imagine anybody else in this role of Baby. Baby's, she's not a nice person. She's a murderer. She's a fucking murderer. She's a horrible murderer. She is, I don't know. I could go on and on about how horrible she is, but there's just something about her that I fucking love. I fucking love her character. I know it's horrible.
Since you went ahead and started with one of those, maybe I can ask you a question about What is it in particular about that? You think it's because you love like the woman so much that the character
I think comes? It is. I think it is because Sherry Moon Zombie, she's like a vegan. They have an animal farm sanctuary. She's like a really good person. I mean, there's a couple of things like that I don't totally agree with about, you know, her opinions on some things. But as a person, she's just like, she loves animals. And the fact that her and her husband rescue animals and all this stuff, and then you see her in this role that's just completely bonkers is, I don't know. I think seeing
that. Yeah, I can see that. It's like it's fun. It's like, wow, you can really be somebody else. And then I think that kind of excited you about the character.
Yeah. Well, see, that's cool. And I also love her outfits in this movie. They're fucking hilarious. So
I do remember that.
Yeah. Okay, Alma, what's first on your list?
Well, I put, because it was a recent one, I picked Aisha D from Sissy, the movie. She plays Cecilia. And this is one also that it's like, is she a good character? Is she a bad character? I don't give a shit. I like her. I love the character so much. So the movie is about teen best friends, Cecilia and Emma, who run into each other after like a decade or something. And, you know, Emma invites her to her wedding, even though she hasn't seen her in a long time. They have like this blast night, like, woohoo, we're a bachelorette party and everything. She meets her fiance and everybody's getting along real great. And then she accepts this invitation, but just like all like horror movies, like you accept an invitation to go somewhere. But not only that, she doesn't know any of the people or anything. And she's like this influencer and she has this whole like helping with mental health thing, like getting in your special place and whatnot. And it gets just like we say, it gets bonkers. One thing after another.
As bonkers as your kitty cat in the background.
Yes. And I left the two of them in here because they're supposed to be good. I'm like, you two, I gave them a pep talk. Behave your asses. I'm going to record.
Speaking of naughty or nice. Go on. Sorry.
I think you thought that she was naughty and not a good way. I fucking love this character. I think she was great. Like the actress playing her embodied this character. I thought she was fun and cute and she was bullied as a kid and everything that comes afterward. I'm like, those people deserve that shit. Okay. You know, I was like all for her and it just gets worse for her. Like everything she does is embarrassing. Everything she does is like uncomfortable and awkward. And there's this
It's thing- cringy as fuck. It's yes. cringy as fuck. Watching that movie, I'm just like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
Yes. And but I'm like all team Sissy. I love her. I love the smile. I love, you know, like how she's just kind of like she stays and it's just like, why are you staying in this situation? So I love it. It's a newer movie. I watched it a bunch of times. I told you, cause I couldn't stop watching it. And the whole time I was just like, I love this character. I love Aisha D. I need to see more of her.
So, I love that we both picked movies where, I mean, for our first ones, that our characters aren't necessarily the good guy in our movies. But I really enjoy that movie too. That's that one. But yes, cringy as fuck. And there's certain points in it that are so hard to watch because it's just like that anxiety that it gives me. And you're right. She did that role so well. Okay, so for my next character, it's Jerry Lynn from Demon Knight. And I'm curious if it's on your list. Okay, so
when I was writing the list, I didn't put her only because I knew you would put her. So, and I know we said we'll just list them all. And if somebody doesn't have one, we'll skip to the next character. But I'm like, I knew you'd cover it. So go ahead.
So I had to mute myself there for a second because I started having a coughing fit. Sorry about that. Okay, so we actually have an episode that we covered for Demon Knight, if I remember. I think it's a Patreon, though. I'll list it in the show notes for this one. But real quick, it is high-level demons collect low-level demons as warriors in an attempt to obtain a key containing the blood of Christ. The key is guarded by immortal warriors called Demon Knights.
I'm surprised that you mentioned the fact that we did the episode on Demon Knight, but you didn't mention the fact that we did a whole episode on just Jada Pinkett Smith. We did a whole episode talking about how much of her versatility, or we love her characters, and we think she's like a great actress. So it's kind of like a tribute episode as well. But that movie is freaking fabulous, and it has a couple of really great characters, obviously.
Yes.
But her character was like,
yeah,
like a hero, one of the first big heroes you see.
You could say Shiro. Sorry, oh, I'm trying God. To be, I'm being a dork over here. I'm having a coughing fit over here. Alma keeps forgetting to turn on or turn off mute so we can hear her talking. So excuses, you guys, because we're just a little bit.
So was I not talking that whole time? Nobody could hear me.
Yeah, no. We did, but for a few seconds beforehand. No, while I'm having my coughing fit over here, I think it's just because we just came back from vacation and we're just a little bit off right now, off our game. So I think that's what it is. We ended up extending our vacation, people. We went to Vietnam, and then while we were over there, we had this. This lady who was a very, very bad influence on us. And
she was so charming. That's what it was. I was just completely swept away by her charm that I would do anything she said. And she was like, just stay on vacation. Just keep coming. Like, just do it. And I was like under the peer pressure because she was I was under her spell. And
and we ended up extending our trip and going to Cambodia afterwards, which everything about the trip was great, but I think we still have a little bit of vacation brain. But anyway, so yes, played by Jada Pinkett Smith, and for all the reasons that we've already said, you know, and in our Jada episode and in our Demon Knight episode, I obviously am in love with this character and the actress. So I'll link the episode in the show notes so that I don't have to bore you guys anymore if you've already heard the other episodes. All right, Alma, you're next.
I love Toni Collette. Everybody knows that. So she's one of my favorite women, period, in horror movies. She was in Krampus. She played the mom in Fright Night, Hereditary. Fucking loved her. But I'm going to talk about specifically one character that made me like completely fall in love with her. And that was her playing the mom, Lynn Sear, in Sixth Sense. That role for her, I fell in love with that character. She seems so relatable, such a real mom. Everything about her in it, I thought she was so moving. Her performance was moving. She made me cry. The way that she would get a little scared, but she like worked so hard to just keep her son happy, and everything she did was for her son. And even though she understood there was something strange about him, she did her best to stay supportive, even though he was scaring the shit out of her. Because if you didn't know what it was that was scary, you would think that your son is totally scary. And this is why I always tell you, if I had like a demon kid, I would still love that demon kid. I would, you know, move mountains for my demon kid. And that's the kind of character this was. It was like, there's spooky shit happening all around. There's no way this kid is doing it, but it has to be because you don't think ghosts are real. And so I love her in that role, the mom.
The role, this character is really good. I love how there's moments too where she is kind of like, she actually shows fear, maybe not of him, but like of whatever she thinks is going on. So like you said, she will support, she will do all that. But at the same time, I love it when she does show that fear, because I think she does show it perfectly. Like, what?
And she's doing stuff. The thing is about, this is the thing, is that she's doing active things. Even though she understands like her child was being bullied, and so she's trying to get him social, she's trying to find help for him by having that neighbor kid walk him to school to make sure he's safe. Everything that she's done is doing it in support of her son.
Great mom.
Yeah. Even when he's attacked at that party and everything, she becomes all mama bear. Mm-hmm. And she's very assertive. You know, she's going to kick someone's ass for her kid. And that's why I love that character. So there you go.
I love that choice. And I know how much you love her too. So that was a really cool one that you picked. My next one is from Carnival of Souls. Yeah.
I was no, I picked that one too. Go ahead.
It's Mary. And Mary is played by, I think we had this problem last time too, trying to figure out how to pronounce the last name, but Candace Hillegas. And I fucking love this character. So I guess we both can talk about it because, let me just read the, it's after a traumatic accident, a woman becomes drawn to a mysterious abandoned carnival. I especially love this character because she's such an assertive female character when I think we probably didn't see it as often on screen during the time that this movie came out. And there's moments in the movie where we just really see her strong independence, you know, when this guy's hitting on her and when she's trying to navigate having lost her friends, you know, in that car crash and all of that. So I just, overall, I just love everything about her. That she's an organ player. She's when she's like confronted with, you know, coming to church and all this stuff. And she just very, again, it's all these things about her character that I feel that at the time were not as commonly shared or seen on screen from our women characters. This movie came out in 1962 or was made in 1962. And I don't know. I just love her character very much, Mary.
I think it came from a place of like a lot of people discuss, oh, sometimes you're reading too much into it. But this is one of the movies where I feel we were supposed to, and it was set up that way for us to, because the people didn't have a way to express themselves as much as they do now. We have a lot more freedom and liberty to not be scared or afraid of expressing our views or opinions or anything like that. So when it comes to her character, this like with the doctor and being chased and everything like that, and having to deal with that man who won't leave her alone, and they had a different way of dealing with that. And her character was just like somebody you could put yourself in their shoes in that time. And it's like, you know, we're so far apart from that, decades away, and we can still see what this person is going through and feel that, you know, in a whole completely different decade. And her eyes, I there was so much that she did with her face, but I always talk about her eyes being the just a great actors, two little actors up there, you know, with her scared, her being her fear, her anxiety, her want, just everything, her loneliness, her everything is, you see it in her eyes so well. And I love that character.
Okay, Alma, do you want to share your next character?
Okay, I'll keep it old school because we're just talking about something old, something okay. New, something modern, something new. Okay, I'm going to go with Julie Harris as Eleanor Lance. Okay. In The Haunting, because
great you movie. Know,
that's one of my favorite movies. It's on my top 10 favorite of all time. Hill House. It was that this is the one that's based on the book, of course. And so it stood forever. We did it on one of our episodes, right? And this doctor decides to take these people in. He has assembled a team of them that he thinks will, like he gets this team, but it's not really a team. Like he asks random people, right, to come to this house with him, who he thinks will prove whether or not the house is haunted. And this character is my favorite character because it's also somebody that I put myself in their shoes so easily. She is just kind of a sad and lonely character. She just lost her mom. She was always working very hard. She took care of her. And now that her mother passed away, she's losing everything that she's always had. She did all this hard work. She hasn't been able to lead her own life. Her sister has her family and her thing going on, but she has nothing left. Not only that, this was like her career was taking care of her mother, and she has nothing left. And so actually there's two great characters in this one, of course, because you know, we love Theodora And so, but her character is the one that I felt so much of me in it, that it was something that hit me so hard when I watched this movie.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore her. I see so much sadness in her. She's almost like childlike when it comes to the whole thing that she's getting a crush on the doctor.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, because it's just, she doesn't have any life experience outside of her home. And so, so every bit of everything she's doing in this is really just, I'm putting myself in her shoes so easily. And I really love that character.
And I'll link the episode in our show notes as well, because you spoke a lot to that in that episode. And, I love this movie too, so much. And I love the strong female characters and actresses in this movie as well. So great choice. Okay. So my number four is Carrie White from Carrie. So Carrie White, a shy, friendless teenage girl who is sheltered by her domineering religious mother, unleashes her telekinetic powers after being humiliated by her classmates at her senior prom. I love the evolution of Carrie in this movie. I love that she starts off shy, kind of I hate to use the word victim, but she kind of is, you know, with her mother's the way her mom treats her and everything. And then when you start seeing her come out of her shell and then going full on ragey, fucking love that so much.
I love it. It's not so much, I was trying to say, it wasn't so much like her strict home environment or overbearing. The mother was like, yeah, everybody knows it already. She's like just next level. I wish there was a good word I could think of. I'm just trying to think of like a good word to describe that mother-daughter relationship here, because she was abusive. And so it was just like, it's like completely like the worst. She had the worst home life.
And then the way she ends up coming out of it at the end, just being able to take out all that aggression, all that revenge, everything, anything you could think of. And she just does it all. I hate the ending because, you know, I mean, spoiler alert, this movie's from the fucking 70s. way she dies at the end, you know, that always makes me so sad. It makes me cry for her. But I do love that she was able to, even if it was just for a short time, have a good moment, you know, when she went to the prom. Before it all went downhill. But who knows? Maybe it kept going uphill because, I mean, taking out her revenge on everybody who was fucking, you know, treating her like shit. Maybe that was really cool.
Yeah, fuck everyone. I was all rooting for her to run everybody over and blow them up and set them on fire. That's why these characters are so great. They're a great character. You can cheer. They're not real. And we can always...
They're not real people. So fuck it.
Yes. Okay.
Go on, Alma. What's your next
team
movie?
Team Carrie. Yes. I'm going to go with, first of all, the actress Kelly Maroney. I love her. I love her. And we covered Night of the Comet before. I love Samantha, that character, but I'm going with... Okay, so she plays Allison Parks in Chopping Mall. Woo! Chopping Mall. You know, fucking love Chopping Mall. I love her character in that one because of the, again, once again, it's a Shiro. I'm going to go with Dahlia. And the Shiro character, she's an independent woman, okay? So I love her being the one that is the final girl that you want to cheer for. It's an older movie. So they have like these new robots that are going to be security for the mall. And on the very first night.
I am a robot.
Yes. Sorry. On the very first night.
I ruined that for you.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear it. Don't make me do my robot voice, okay?
I want to do your robot voice.
A group of young shopping mall employees stay behind for a late night party in one of the stores. So they're going to have this party, sex party. I call it a sex party. Because it's in a furniture store, right? And
good old fashioned orgy.
A couple of the couples. Well, they're not doing it with each other. You know, it's like just with the coupling, but in the same room.
The coupling.
And they set her up with the dude, you know, to watch a movie. They're watching a movie. And the rest of them are just like doing it in the beds in the background. They're doing it in the vents in the background. And of course, the system malfunctions and these robots are going to get killer on us. I love the killer robots. I love the randomness of the shit they can do because it's like they're security robots. So why do they have lasers? And
exactly. For a fucking mall. Why?
And then it's they hilarious. Have like the, what is it called? Like a grappling hook, the things that they shoot out to grab. Everything these robots are doing shouldn't be something that mall security is in charge of. Okay. It's like they're killing people. And meanwhile, she has.
It's like fucking this, RoboCop over here, man.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like the other RoboCop machine that kills the guy by accident. That was a great part. But anyway, we're talking about these mall robots. And she is our Shiro of it. Everybody's getting picked off really easy. Somebody gets burned alive. It's like, what? Like, electrocuted. They're cutting throats. Why are they cutting throats? Why is that a thing that
would totally been in unnecessary there? For shoplifting? It doesn't make sense.
you're gonna get death. You're getting sliced through the throat. And I love her in it with the sweater and they're running. And she's the smart one with her head on her shoulders that meets the new guy or whatever. And so yeah, that is one of my favorite characters and my favorite line in the end. When she becomes, yay, she's the Shiro. She saves the day. Hey, have a nice day. Because the whole movie, they're like, have a nice day.
Yeah.
Have a nice day. Oh, is that a good robot?
I usually do better, actually.
Yeah, I do. I was just, it's my throat, you know.
I know. We're just coming out of that brain fog thing, too. Okay, so my next character is Naru from Prey on Hulu. I believe it's still there. Naru, a skilled warrior of the Comanche Nation, fights to protect her tribe against one of the first highly evolved predators to land on Earth. Again, I love the evolution of these characters. She's a fucking badass. She is going against the grain here with the traditional roles of the people of her community. She ends up being just a warrior, like just kick-ass warrior. And going on a little further, I love this movie. I love this what do you call it in the series? I always forget what it's technically called, the Predator series. Like a prequel? Yeah, but well, I mean, like,
the Predator series.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Predator series.
Yeah, but I fucking love her character. I love this actress. And so, yeah. The actress in this one is Amber Midthunder. And again, just really enjoy watching her in this.
Okay, so... Should I go on to the next person then? Because I've got Keke Palmer on my list. Okay. She's a superstar. She is superstar. And I love the character that I chose, of course, was Emerald Hayward in Nope, which I believe to be the best movie of 2022. That was my number one movie of the year. I fucking love the movie so much. And this character was so much fun, and she brought that everything, because this character goes through a lot in the movie. Okay, so without spoilers, if you haven't seen it or anything, I don't want to spoil that, of course, but because she brings a little bit of comedic relief when it's needed.
Exactly.
She's serious when she needs it. She boss when she needs it. Mm-hmm. She's like a show person within the movie. And I think it showed a great amount of range, especially because people are so quick to overlook horror movies a lot. And she moves me in the movie in a way that I love. I love it when somebody can take me on this kind of like journey of emotion and then I end up with tears in my eyes. That is this character. I love her. I love her style.
Yeah, you're right.
I love
she is a fun character.
Yeah.
And I think she does it perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. And so that I had to mention her. She was like right there. I was trying to add, not to add too many characters that were newer, just in case people hadn't seen some of the movies. And I'm like,
because normally we don't care. Normally we don't care about sharing spoilers, but for this one, this is very recent, so we won't. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen, of course, you got to. And I'm not
already.
There you go. You know? And so that one is my top five characters, you know? I love it.
So Alma keeps saving me because I keep having coughing fits. So thank you. If you all keep hearing little pats of silence. For some reason, I was fine before this, but the second we start recording, I keep having coughing fits. It's so annoying. Okay, so my next character is Clarice from Silence of the Lambs, played by Jodie Foster. This movie has always been one of my favorites. This character, especially this character, made me want to be an FBI agent. I'm not even joking. I wanted to be in the FBI because of Clarice and Jodie Foster.
I love that so much.
I thought I could do this, especially when they're showing her go through the training and everything. I really, okay. So I, let me just read a little bit real quick in case. I'm sure you all have at least heard of this movie. A young FBI cadet must receive the help of an incarcerated and manipulative cannibal killer to help catch another serial killer, a madman who skins his victims. She's smart. She's strong. She goes against the grain. And then at the end of the day, she figures it all out. And that's why I fucking love her character so much. She's iconic. She's everything. Just this is like the perfect. And I, there's something about her, too, that I think was so perfectly done for the movie, that they show why Anthony Hopkins, Dr. Hannibal Lecter, why he spared her and respected her. They don't do it in a way that makes you wonder, like, why the fuck did he, like, why is she okay to, like, leave alone when he seems to, like, be indiscriminate with the way he kills people? Well, I think they smartly created the character for the screen so that we get it. We totally get why. Because she just, I don't know. I hate that I'm using, like, childlike ways to describe it, but I fucking love her. She's great in this movie. But yeah, Clarice was my number, what was it, 6 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot to keep numbers, so we'll just have to, like, stop us at some point and say we've done enough, because I didn't number them or anything. Great character, because I love this so much, because we don't even have to mention the fact that we're talking about strong women characters, strong women roles, and strong actresses, because that's, you know, it's a give. This is why these are so great. But I just imagine little Dahlia watching this, like, I want to do that, because, you know, when you watch certain things, you're like, oh, I wish I could do that. From the, I think I could be a skating star because I'm watching this, or gymnastics. Dolly was looking at this movie. He's like, I could totally be an FBI agent. I'm just going to bust balls all day. I'm going to be amazing at this. I fucking love that. Okay. So I'm going to go next with a character that is a different kind of character. I loved this character because the actress did so much with so little. A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. You know, we're a big fan of this one. We covered it as well.
Oh, my God. It's a good one.
Yeah. And I love Sheila Vond as the girl. Now, the girl in the movie. Okay. So if this one is about the Iranian ghost town, Bad City, a place that reeks of death and loneliness. The townspeople are unaware they're being stalked by a lonesome vampire. That is why I love this character. It doesn't have a lot of dialogue. It is a lot of watching, and I find it almost magical. It's like, I know I'm being one of those people, but I don't care. I love
the movie. I don't care.
There's not very many. I love the cat in it, but her character made me laugh, and it's just like the seriousness, and then she's just kind of a sad character. She's a very sad character because you think about it, she is lonely. She doesn't have anybody, and she's kind of playful sometimes in the movie when you see her stalking victims. But also somebody that is caring, because it's like, why is she talking to this person? And why is she petting this cat? And at one point she talks to a young boy in the movie and is trying to keep him, you know, don't mess around because the bad things will happen to you. And she's the bad thing. She's the bad thing that could happen to him. So I love the actress for doing so much with this character that didn't have a lot of lines, that didn't have a lot of, but they did so much, so much with everything that they did. So
yeah, this great movie, this perfect choice, and a great character as well. Yeah, you're right. She played this perfectly. Okay. So my next one is Jane from Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, played by Bette Davis. Again, I love sometimes just picking the bad guy in the movie. And mm-hmm. it's just so, okay, we also did an episode on this. So if you want to hear everything we say on it, I'll link it in the show notes. But, okay, so it's a former child star torments her paraplegic sister in their decaying Hollywood mansion. It's a description from IMDb. Her character is both funny, both ruthless and abusive, and heartbreaking at the same time. All of the above, just this, everything that we see her going through from when she was on stage as a child, when she loses it all, to her sister's talent, to taking out her revenge on her sister through their adult life. And then at the end, when you find out that, you know, I mean, again, spoiler alert, this movie's from the 60s, right? when you find out that it wasn't all her fault, it's just so fucking heartbreaking. And I think that Bette Davis did this. I know we're talking about characters, but Bette Davis did this character just so beautifully. Jane is like one, I would say, if like one of my top three ever characters in these movies, in any horror movies, whatever you want to call it. And yes, we talked about this in our episode too, about Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, about it being horror. It was mm-hmm. billed as horror at the time, so that's why we mm-hmm. call it horror. But
and
yeah.
It, I like the word choice you use, especially because she was so fucking funny. The character was so funny. And then, yeah, and it's the whole range. It's a whole range of, in such a short amount of time,
yeah,
to show everything that was done in the, we saw so much. In fact, you could say, because, you know, you're not seeing what got her there, but then when you see the ending, you know why and what got her there. It's a whole evolution of a character.
And it's so funny that we're saying she was funny, because she was being funny in her cruelness to her sister.
And I already warned Dahlia. I already warned Dahlia.
She warned.
I already told her. She makes best friends with somebody. That's it for her.
Yeah.
You're going to find a bird on your lunch plate.
I'm scared.
Okay, don't mess with me.
Quit threatening me and go on to the next one.
Nobody heard that, right? Don't forget to edit it out. Anyway, I'm going to go with another newer one, and Mia Goth as Pearl in Pearl. Do I have anybody good on this list? I do. Okay, good. I was going to say good, like good person.
Oh, I know what you meant.
The character herself, Pearl, in this movie. I love the character. She's scary. She's violent. She's funny and strange. And so that is, I think, why I sometimes, when you have a character that you're like, no, they're not the Shiro, they're not, but you just want to root for that person somehow. You're not really like rooting for this person, but you want to see like, what is this person capable of doing? And that is why we like characters that are not the good character. So in this one, it is 1918. A young woman on the brink of madness pursues stardom in a desperate attempt to escape the drudgery, isolation, and lovelessness of life on her parents' farm. And so she does lead a very lonely life. And we see someone who entertains themselves and has big dreams of getting the hell out of here. And so you do want to see, you want to see more, because otherwise this wouldn't be a movie. Otherwise we wouldn't be watching it if it's just going to be her chilling and waiting at home for her husband to get home. No, we want to see something exciting, and we get that in the movie, and we get it on her. She is so good in this one. You know, I saw X, and I think her character in this one was so much fun to watch. And so, like, I didn't want to turn away. And that's why I love Pearl. Pearl is scary. Pearl is fearless. Pearl is lonely and sad. And therefore, it's just really great to watch this character's every action unfold on screen.
You did so good with not giving away any spoilers. It's really hard for these recent movies. With these more recent movies. Okay, so I have two more on my list. So I'm going to share. I'll share quickly Kirsty from the Hellraiser series. So I took just from the beginning one. I mean, from the first one. A woman discovers the newly resurrected, partially formed body of her brother-in-law. She starts killing for him to revitalize his body so he can escape the demonic beings that are pursuing him after he escaped their sadistic underworld. She is in, I should have counted, maybe three of the movies. I can't remember. You probably know better than me off the top of my head. I can never remember this stuff. But she's the daughter of one of the characters. And I think, in my opinion, from the beginning, she was always the strong, smart one. She seemed to me, at least, always one step ahead of the game, at least trying to figure out shit. I also love the fact that we have this character going across different movies. So I actually had quite a few women characters. I think she was number 9 on my list, but again, no particular order. I just liked her. Kirsty. I always forget how to pronounce Kirsty when I haven't seen it in a while. But yeah, so that she was, I think she's a great character in the horror movies and in general.
That's the thing. I like that you mentioned that she does get to come out in multiple movies, because that's what gets me also, like, when I read books, and I love it when a character is in multiple books, because then we get to see more of their evolution. And, because you get to see them more. Yeah. Because they have
you brought
to
up
change.
A good point. A good point. That's what it is. You get to see that change, that growth, that everything along. So, like, even though I could see all of these things in one movie, when you see it across several movies, that's when it really shows the character. Speaking of, I haven't seen, oh gosh, I was just thinking about this the other day. I rewatched them. I never rewatched them in order. I think I haven't seen the third one in a while, now that I think about
That's funny, because with the Hellraiser ones, the third one is the one I love, because it was the first one I saw. It was the first one that I saw.
I think
obviously
it's the same for me. Yeah,
I saw the third one first, so I usually will watch that one and then go back and watch the other ones. But because you did that, I think that's an awesome, you know, introduction to my character, because you're talking about a character in multiple movies, is Sigourney Weaver as Whip Ripley in the Alien franchise.
Oh, I love that.
I don't get tired of watching the Alien movies, even when people are like, oh, I don't even like Alien Resurrection, or I don't like this one. I'll watch them all, even like the newest ones, in order. But we're talking about Ripley here. Okay. And Ripley is the saddest character to me, because they kept bringing her back. And I wouldn't have watched them if it wasn't. I love that they put her in these spots from the beginning of Alien. And I had seen an interview with her where she said they were going to, it was a great surprise that she was the one who was the survivor of Alien, because originally it was supposed to be a male character, but it was supposed to be that way so it could be a bit of a shock to everybody. You're thinking the character Dallas might be the one to make it, or even like one of the engineers. But we have her and her cat Jonesy, who survived Alien to go on in Aliens, and then to go on in Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection. And each time it's like, can you please? This is why we're talking so much about the Scream franchise too. It's like, just leave that person alone and don't bring them back anymore.
I know, right? Let them rest in peace or yes. live or whatever.
But I love that they gave her that rest in peace in the Alien 3. And then they still brought her back because it was like a miserable existence is what she had. And the first one, she was smart and survived. And the second one, she's already knows and she's in this predicament. And she's like, I survived this one. I'm going to survive this again. And then when she has to live with the fact that in the third one that she's not going to, she embraces it because she already did what she needed to do. And she helps everybody along the way. She's a great heroine. She's a great character to see because even though she was sleeping, like when you think about it, she's put into cryo for those in-between sleeps, the hypersleep in between the movies. So it's like, how do they develop? Well, you know why she developed? Because she wakes up from the instant that she survived that previous thing. And she has that knowledge to go on and do something yeah. big with it. She is in the first one, like the smart character who survives. The second yeah. one, she's like, I'm the mama bear character yeah. surviving. And the third one, she's like, I am this desolate. And you know what? I'm going to embrace my death and I'm going to fuck yeah. up this thing on my way out.
yeah.
And in the fourth one, she sees how she's made it there. And it's like a sad existence, but still choosing to help is just yeah. why Ripley is like fucking amazing. Love her. Love those yeah. first four solid ones. I have to always watch them. Boom, 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 boom. There you go.
And I like the way you mentioned this one too, because it's like what we just talked about with the Hellraiser series. As a standalone movie, you see that growth and that change and that assertiveness and all of that good stuff. But also across the different movies, you see it also. You see that change if you're just walking. I just watched the third one. Okay, so the third one is actually one of my favorites. I just rewatched the third one like within the past couple of weeks. But yeah, the third one is actually one of my favorites. And I don't really know why. I think it's because of the ending when she just, like you said, she embraced what happened to her and she's fucking taking this shit down and she's going down with it. So yeah, I like that you picked Ripley. I love that. Okay, so my last character is Grace. From Ready or Not. A bride's wedding night takes a sinister turn when her eccentric new in-laws force her to take part in a terrifying game. I won't give spoilers because this movie came out in 2019, so it's still fairly recent, but she's a new bride. She's literally a giggling new bride. She's having fun with this game that they're going to play. It's a family tradition. And you see her just being just sweet and gentle and trying to appease her new in-laws. And then the turn that it takes, and she ends up being a fucking badass all the way, the rest of the way through. And just, oh my God. The way she acts in this movie, there's this one part where she just fucking screams at the top of her lungs because after something happened. And I'm just like, that is literally how someone would react. And I just love the way this, the actress, I have to look up the actress because I always forget who everybody is. But I love the way the actress played this part. It was Samara Weaving. She played it, I think, if anybody was pushed into that situation, exactly. It's like the in-laws trying to be nice, and she really was felt like she was getting along with everybody, and then the turn that it takes, she's just like, fuck it all, fuck you all, I'm taking you down. So I like this character. I love the movie. It's one of my favorites.
Okay, that is great. I like the way you describe it. I was trying to remember the name of this movie recently so I could have somebody watch it. And so now I have it. I completely forgot the name of it. That's a great one. So I'm going to end it with one that I think was something that it was overlooked so much, this movie. We talked about it last year because when it was leaving, I think Netflix, it was like people really slept on this film. But I know our listeners probably already seen it. I've watched it And then I thought it was so fucking wonderful. I made other people watch it. It's like, I love that. I was like, you need to watch this. Okay, then you need to watch this. And let's all sit together and I'm going to watch it for the fifth time because I kept making people watch it. So I'm talking about the movie His House, and the character and the actress that plays, her name is Wonmi Mosaku, and the character was real. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Now, this movie was so powerful. I love this movie. A refugee couple makes a harrowing escape from war-torn South Sudan, but then they struggle to adjust to their new life in English town that has an evil lurking beneath the surface. This movie was scary. It was sad. It was depressing, but also it was so hopeful. And it was just, it was really moving. I don't even have the words to describe it, but her character, I was like, this is a star. She was so good. And I could really see everything this character was going through, from the beginning of like sadness and grief to being really scared. And then, but overcoming it with the strength, and you see all of it in the character from the beginning to the end. And I just think everybody needs to watch this movie. And this, and also the actress that was in it was in Lovecraft Country. I think she's fucking gorgeous. I loved her in it. I was just like, she's such a great actress. And this character, when I saw that she was in this movie, that's why I watched the movie. And so, yeah, I don't think there's enough words to describe how much I really
I love that, like, the characters that we chose are also in movies that we really enjoyed. Because I'm trying to think of what a character where it came from a movie that I didn't necessarily like. But no, it's like we really love the movies that these characters were in. And I know it was kind of, we rushed through these, but we both had a lot of, we could have had more. That's the problem. We could have had a lot more characters to go with, but we were trying to keep this under an hour because we want everybody to check out. If you haven't checked out these movies, if you haven't checked out these characters, we want you to be able to go through kind of a manageable list, but still, even it's almost close to 20 people that we shared.
I know. I think we were supposed to do like five. And I was like, no, because I was thinking, I wanted to have like a range of different types of characters. But I think we did that very well.
Sad characters,
lonely characters, scary characters, sheroes. And so I think we did a great job because it is a very diverse group.
I think
characters, you know, and some of them I want to be friends with and the other ones I would rather be friends with than be their enemies.
exactly. I was going to say. And Alma, guess what? We kept it under an hour. I think that's the first time we actually ever did that. So,
yes.
Oh my God. We could keep on talking. I was about to go into another tangent here, but we won't do that. I won't do that to you people. We promised one under an hour and this is it. So all the episodes that we mentioned, we will have in the show notes for y'all so you can hear more about some of these fun characters. Alma, if people want to get a hold of us and let us know who their favorite women of horror are, how can they get a hold of us?
You can go to our website, nightmaremoviepodcast.com. Our Instagram is the same, @nightmaremoviepodcast. You can tweet at us @nightmareon5th. That's nightmareon5th. You can read what we write over on horrormovieblog.com and our Instagram @horrormovieblog. And if you would like to support us other than what you're doing already, which we love, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't left us a review already, you can do that. Please talk about how much awesome I am.
I like the way you said that.
All my
God. Oh, great. Great. I was just about to compliment you. Forget it. I take it back.
I'm so humble. I'm so humble. And then Dalia's got our Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon information.
Our Patreon is patreon.com/nightmaremoviepodcast. And our Buy Me a Coffee for that one-time donation is buymeacoffee.com/nightmarepod, because Alma and I do this all on our own while we will continue to do this because we love doing it. If you're able, that would be awesome. We also have a subscription on, check out whatever platform you're listening to and see if you can subscribe through there. And oh my God, so this is our first episode back from our vacation. Sorry for the short break that y'all had from us. I know y'all missed us because I missed us.
I missed me.
I missed
you. Oh, you too, I guess.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't really miss you because we were on the vacation together. So
anyway. I think she's tired of me.
I am not. I know you keep saying that, but I'm really not.
I don't get tired of Dahlia.
Alma made this vacation so fun because she had never been abroad the way we were this time. And she fucking embraced it.
I did great.
And she did shit she's never done before. And I fucking love seeing her have. She did. She was on a fucking ATV without her glasses, just tearing it up. I still can't get over the fact you weren't wearing the glasses.
I think not having the glasses on made me furious. I couldn't see anything. I was just flying through fields and over that ditches.
That was the worst and the scariest, but the most fun. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us for these Women of Horror characters. Until next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nightmare on Fifth Street, a horror movie podcast. If you like what you heard, consider hitting that follow button and sharing us with others. We also love reviews if that's your thing. And of course, you can always subscribe to our Patreon and on your favorite podcast platform like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Whatever way you choose to support us, whether it's listening, sharing, or subscribing, we are truly grateful. Thank you so much.